Okay, my name is Andrius Kulikauskas from Vilnius Gediminas Technical University, and I will talk to you about a cognitive framework for innovation based on game storming. I have to turn this off. I'm sorry. Let's see. Okay. So first, I'll explain what game storming is. In Silicon Valley, people have been playing innovation games for decades. There's a folklore about it.
Oh.
I'll do it like this.
Yeah.
Okay. And these innovation games, we'll play one right now. I'd ask you to take a sheet of these. We'll play a game. So I'm interested in philosophy. I'm interested to know everything. And I'm looking for cognitive frameworks. But this was wonderful data. The variety of games that they've recorded. It's about the 80 games, now maybe 100 games, and you can make up your own game. So I'll talk about that and what makes us human beings. So a game for us I made up for today, but I've played it actually quite a long time, is what is your question? Okay, think of a question that you don't know the answer to, but that you wish to answer. And my question is, what creates meaning? And I'll tell you about that, what I've been investigating. I'm learning that a game creates meaning. A shared world within the world. And you enter a game by asking a question, what you don't know. And then you leave the game by accepting an answer, what you learned. And every sentence is a game. So when I say CONUS is the capital of culture, I'm really doing two things. I'm having always a subject or topic and a predicate and a comment. So I'm saying, well, what is CONUS? I don't know what CONUS is. And then I'm saying, well, CONUS is the capital of culture. So every sentence is a game and every word is a game. So when we look at the word like CONUS, it always has this ambiguity because it's kind of saying, well, this is a symbol. What could that sound mean? But it says, well, you know, there's an answer, right? It's here. So if with every word, you can always play that game. Of course, when you know the words and it's not so interesting, you don't think about it. But your life is a game. And the question is, what is the meaning of life? And the answer is your deepest value. So my deepest value is living by truth. Did anyone else? So this is the game. What is your deepest value in life? I see. That would be another game. Okay, what is your deepest? So this would be the answers of the deepest value is the answer. Now let's play a new game. What is the question that you wish to answer? Games are the ways of figuring out the answers. And every game is made up of games. Every sentence is made up of words, and life is made up of sentences, and culture is the game of all games. So let's look at the game, and let's see what makes it so human about us. You can see the shared world here in this picture. They're playing hopscotch. And Tomasello, the researcher, he said that what makes us human is what he called joint intentionality. So these human beings have a shared task, a shared world. They're paying a shared attention to this world. But what's very interesting from an evolutionary point of view, it's not just shared attention. It's an unconscious bodily harmony. So if you see how they are sitting with each other. If you look at their feet, I marked in red or I marked in white. If you look at how they're leaning, if you look at how you're sitting right now, like when you move your pencil like that, you see, it affects everybody in a slight way. We're all artistically portrayed. And now even if you have people, now these men are, they're all in different worlds. They're all thinking different things, you know. But if you look at their bodies are coordinated and it's not conscious. It's just accidental. It's like a sixth sense. Like both of your legs are crossed in the same way. And I don't know, you didn't plan that, but it looks like maybe you could have. You see, but chimpanzees and other apes, they're basically just as clever as us. Cleverness is not a problem. But look at how they're standing. You see, they're just completely, each one of them is in their own world. It's very strange. Like it'd be very hard to find human beings like this, even in that crowded picture in the market, you know, in the stock exchange. And even when they're together, this is a beautiful picture.
it looks like they're a group, and they are a group, you know, I mean, but
the difference between their group, you see, in their group, it's just one-to-one relationships. You know, these two are together, those are grooming each other, that, you know, but it's not like a group at all. They have no joint feeling for an ad hoc group. So when you go to coffee for conversation and three people start to talk, they make a little circle, and they can't do that. I think they can't do that. But if you look at these children, these are Ethiopians, and this is a video, they were singing and dancing. And their attention is scattered. They're looking in different directions. But if you look how beautifully they're situated, you see, the chimpanzees can't do that. They just do it automatically because we're human beings. So, now autistic children, so what I'm trying to say is something that has not been, I mean, there's an anthropologist who noticed this 30 years ago, and I can't find his name. He basically did a video of a family. He studied this for 3 months, 90 seconds. He slowed it down and he thought, they're dancing. You know, if you slow it down, it looks like, you know, they open the cover, and then the child kind of moves, and they do this, they're dancing, you see. But autistic children, you can see, they're just not dancing. Like, they're just completely not dancing. But in their mind, they know what joint attention is, you know. They can probably, in their mind, but it's like they're blind, like they're deaf. They don't have that stuff. I'm just making this up, I'm not a doctor, but I think it's kind of obvious that that's probably what's happening. But so, autistic, when they play games, you see, they have to consciously learn to do what we do unconsciously. So to walk up, to say hi, they just don't read anything. They don't have any kind of clue. So the games you can see, like joint attention games, joint adventures, you know, come play with me, come do what I do. They have to learn that, and some of them learn it very well, and they become very good at it because they know how to do it consciously. It's a syndrome, a spectrum. So in Silicon Valley, there's a lot of people who have Asperger's, so it's kind of being nearsighted. Your vision is not perfect. They kind of look like 98%. This is a band called Asperger's R Us, but they don't look 100%. You know, they look maybe 95%. I don't know if I'm making that up, but I know people in Silicon Valley. I think they would be fine with that comment. Now, so what I did with the game storm, to bring it back to that, is to say, okay, so we are... What makes us different as human beings is we have a physical capacity for gain. And I wanted to ask with regard to the evolution, you see, if we got that capacity, it would change our evolution because singing together, dancing together, when monkeys go on the hunt, they all go hunt on their own. You know, one will go on the top, they have different roles, but it's their monkey. They're not going to share. They don't have the concept of a game against a monkey. But when the chimpanzees do their hunt, but you see, I think maybe if the young people, children or twins, they started singing together. They sing together, they dance together, they get ready for the hunt. They get in the same mindset, you see. Well, then their vocal cords will evolve. Their hands will evolve. Their drumming, their hands, their posture will change because they become game players. And this is what you need. All of the things that make us human, physically are making games. Now, mentally, if you look at the games, they all have different purposes. And so what I did, I looked at some are for starting, and I organized the game, and I saw that you get consent in the beginning, then you care for each other, you kind of understand or investigate. There's a moment, a game, very important game, when you transform, when you say, oh, let's look from the customer's point of view. Okay? You just change your whole, you know, or you distill it. Right? Then you go, oh, we know what we're doing, let's innovate, that's easy now, let's validate, let's commit. So there's this kind of pattern. But I for our talk, and I just stayed up last night too, I re-looked at it and I go, well, to make it more tight, you see, each game can have a different focus. So some, like I said, are looking at the customers or whatever, like the context, right? But some are looking like at the participants, so that, you know, people need to get to know each other, you need to respect them, they need to agree, there's games for that. Then there's games to manage the game, and then there's the deliverable, which is the, you know, the product that you're trying to grow. So you go into the game, you're trying to create some innovation that you could sell, and then you step out of the game. But if we look at that and we organize that, it turns out that there's 24 different kinds of games in every game. Every game is made up of 24 different games, and every game has this structure. And so what is going on here? You have games, and I'm interested in how do people behave and how should they behave. So I tell my ethics students, you need to make an ethical system. It needs to be why you should behave, how you get, what you should do,
why you should be doing it, and how do you get yourself to do it. Now, it turns out this is very relevant for this type of math, because what you're doing is, the reason why is why you enter the game. When you have it, it's very focused. It is very, very focused, but then it kind of grows wider. So you ground it, but you basically try to include everybody into this game. Let's all go play this game. When you come out, you want it to be very narrow. So one approach to figuring things out is just do anything. You know, like just look at anything that's interesting. You know, you just, that's not a very good way, but the point is that there is a way, you get ideas that way. And that's what you end up with when you go back into the world. So especially things like getting to know people, well, just collecting all kinds of ideas, dreaming, you know, well, what could this be, and trying to figure out what were they like. It's kind of backwards, but it's all important. The point is, you enter the game with the why, you come out with the what, and then the how is what plays the game. Now, when you set up the game, you can initiate the game. You can plan a game, so that's going to start. But in a game, you can always have a game. You can always make a break for a game. The crucial thing is we're creating meaning. That's what all the games are about. We're creating meaning. So you identify the meaning, you distill it. That's the whole point of the game. Which in basketball could be like, the question is, who will win? The answer is, whoever won. The distillation, the identifying the meaning could be, well, that's the, you know, they won, or that's the score, or this was a beautiful moment, this was a defining moment, you know. But even in a basketball game, you know, especially, all these games have this meaning. Now, to clarify the meaning, you have this very common process. You take a stand, you follow through, you reflect. So when you come in why, you're taking a stand, then you go do it, you try it, you play the game, you follow through, and then you reflect, you evaluate, then you can come out, but you could keep clarifying, you could keep improving, you could keep staying in as long as you want. But for that game to be meaningful, there has to be a connection between that shared world and the world that you live in, the meta world. So you need to be able to feel the difference, you need to be able to agree to say, we're going to do what's good for our culture, you know, our corporate culture. You need to be able to continuously improve, and you need to be able to switch points of view. Get out of the game and think in terms of the big picture. And then, once you have this very clear distinction between the game world and the real world, the bigger world, you can connect them all by looking for the meaning, making sense of the meaning. And when you make sense of the meaning, what you're doing is you're answering a question with a question. So that's a very powerful thing to do. So, I don't know if I have any time left, sir.
Okay.
I'll show you just what I did, just to make it a little bit more concrete. But to initiate the game, here's the kind of game, it's called a pie chart agenda. So it's just saying, when you start the meeting in 60 seconds, let's just draw a chart like this, you know, where to show how much time to spend on whatever. So that's initiating. Here's a game where you break for lunch, and so you can say, within a game, you can have a game. So it's very interesting that all of our culture is made up of these games, and you can always inside create a new game. And you can always, it just shows that this is right, then everything is in terms of everything. Now, the crucial thing, like I said, was identifying the meaning, and it could be that you just draw a picture. You know, you write something what you want, and you try to, you force yourself to draw a picture, and then that kind of explains what has to be, because it has to fit in that picture. Every game. And so when you start to realize this, you start to see like every game I'm showing you is a part of a game, but that game also could be, has its own part. So every game has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And the beginning will be opening, because you're going from the white, you're saying, okay, who can propose? Then you play around here, but then you have to close it. So what you open, you have to close. But it can keep repeating. I mean, you can play it on and on and on. So that's what this cycle is about, and that's what your deliverable is. That's the heart of the game. And then for that to be meaningful, there's games which kind of, like I said, show the point of, well, how does that relate to the real world? And so that could be feeling it, like the body storming is a game. We have to try to imagine what it would feel like, your innovation. History math is an example to say, well, this should be part of our corporate culture. And we're not just going to do, let's say, what the world tells us to do. We're going to do what we believe, you know, our nation wants to do, or our corporation wants to do, or our family wants to do. So we need to know our, you know, what makes us resist the world. Plus Delta just says, well, you can keep improving it. So you can say, I like this, I want to change that. And then designing the box is saying, well, let's look at it from the world's point of view. Let's look it around and say, what would they like? What kind of box would they like? These are examples of games where you switch your mind. And then it can't open this picture. So I just come back here, maybe then I'll just conclude a little bit more, but there's an interesting question. I talked about certain kind of questions, like how do you know you're not a robot, right? That's a hard question, because there's no answer that's going to be satisfactory, because, you know, if you're a robot, you can't trust anything, right? So you know what the answer is to that, philosophically?
No.
It's very hard, you know. But the trick is that you ask a question. The question is, would it make any difference? Yeah, turn it around. See, because if it makes a difference, you know, like robots don't believe, right? Well, I can check for that. But if it doesn't make a difference, like robots are just like us, well then so what? Maybe I'm a robot. But what it did is put the question around.
So all of these, there's all these methods, and it's kind of like playing with the game.
So there's lots of methods in games where you break things into components and you see all the kinds of ways you could organize them. You could organize them in an evolution. You could organize them in... But what's interesting is you never organize it in just a tree or just a sequence or just a network. You always use pairs. So an example would be, you don't just have a tree, but you have a tree that evolves. You don't just have a network, but you have an atlas of maps. You don't just have a sequence, but you have like this instruction book of loops that go back and forth. So you have six possibilities, and they relate to these six types of questions. So this would be this part, where you're making sense, where you're creating new questions, new games out of old questions. It's grounded. And what this is, you see, you get it from, this is creating the game, but this is relaxing the game. You see, this is creating gaps. It's creating a gap between those two structures, the tree and the network. It's creating a gap, and it's allowing there to be a meaning, a space. So working from both directions, you create the world, but you let it be a little bit loose. And then here, it's maybe the last thing about this, in order for it to really fit with the real world, you have to honor the real world. You have to honor the purpose, and you have to honor the result. And that means caring about people. So like, why do we get to know people? Because the people live in the real world. You know, it's not just about the game, it's not just about making money, it's not just about making products. But you need to include everybody, you need to do these things. So this is a summary of what I wanted to talk about. And maybe just to say that the kind of creative things we do are perhaps truly what's meant. And the simple games our children play and we play are what makes us human. And that what we do at our work could be creative and it could be very human and then like I showed it can be very something to learn.
Thank you. Maybe short questions, if that's okay, and let's get coffee then. And
yeah.
With the coffee, I think everyone kind of wants to ask the professor about the platform that was really interesting and also talk more about the games we play. So maybe...
I think I need just to say that this does relate, I think, to all of our talks, but I think the whole point of the last talk was to say that it should be first thought of as a game, this type of for people.
I was thinking about two aspects with the gaming. The first thing is connected to the way how the people, because I couldn't find here this aspect, because we know that the most important is social environment and the people are around. For example, Albert Bandura and his theory of how do the people learn. They learn effectively with relations when they observe other people, they share the knowledge. Yes, this is one thing. And the second is that firstly we need to have a goal. If we start, for example, because it's very interesting for me, not from the, for me that in didactic, if we want to learn someone and use gaming, firstly, we have to describe tasks. So, for example, what do the people should know, and they need the basic knowledge to start gaming. And then we expect that the game will change the structure and give additional knowledge. But we created, we have to make a project of this game. So I'm thinking about the didactic here. So this is two aspects which, for me, are...
This is what we're trying to create and what we're learning. So the question comes from here.
But they should be
the answer comes from here. But I'm just saying this is the goal is in the question.
Uh-huh. for the question.
So you have a question. That's how you frame the goal. Right? That's how you control the game. You say, I have a question.
Problem method.
And it could be multiple choice. You know, that's a pretty dumb game. You know? But it's like everything is a game. So you have if you have a good question, I try to have this, make up their own question.
But where is group? Because the nowadays we have new theory which shows that the students should learn and spread the knowledge.
Okay, so I have to think about that because maybe I'm wrong, but maybe it should be. I hope it's somewhere in here. But the key thing is for learning, you know, you take a stand, you follow through, you reflect. And so, of individual activity, you know, and that's kind of pushing. But what this is saying is that can be done as a group. These games have you do it as a group, you know, so the whole group, I think maybe one of the things about this is that this is a model, you can play a game by yourself. But maybe what this is saying that it's more natural. I mean, it's from an evolutionary perspective, this did not come from an individual point of view. This came from a group activity. So it was the power of the group that could say, now we're all going to sing a song for taking a stand.
Yes.
And then we're going to go, you know, we're going to go on a hunt. So now we're going to prepare and meditate and sing before the hunt. Then we're going to go in the hunt. We're going to sing a different song in the hunt. Then when we see the children, what makes them good? They share their reward. So after the hunt, they're going to share the reward that's going to sing. So this is group learning by definition, because
in the place
to
get together.
If you go to
MS.LC. This is the participant part, first from the bottom. Did you write there? Get the triangle from participant.
Here, this is, get to know.
Get to know.
So this is just the kind of game like where you get to know people, right? Which is a way to learn things, probably very not efficient, but it's a way to learn.
But the lot of business. The first is the participants, bystanders. They are bystanders. Participants, okay, but people that don't participate but work.
Well, so it's very interesting. This is based on...
So it's not saying that you are a model.
No, and I think that's very... First of all, I think what's very important, like when you look at what makes the children different from, or humans different from chimpanzees, for example. Let me finish my thought. You see, the crucial thing about children, they will share with the other people who help in the activity or game or hunt, but they will not share with cheaters. They will make cheaters go away. We did this. You're not allowed to take it if you did not help with the work. It doesn't matter if you did much or if you little, but everyone who helps gets their share. So what that's saying is that from the point of view of the game, it's not most natural to learn on your own. It's most natural, it's saying. But it's not natural to learn watching others. It's natural being part of the group. See, that's when you learn, because you're doing what everyone else is doing. You're not just watching from afar. That would be the conclusion.
Okay. The second question is that we can write a program to create games.
Exactly.
What is the game? What's the game? We can create a program, and we can create now programs that have random functions, and we can create stochastic events in a program. So we can have also an evolution of the program. But the machine remains a machine.
Well,
the program remains a program.
Well,
the problem is the creation of the program. This is the problem. This is
somebody else try to answer that too. Mm-hmm. And the issue is that you see, my goal. Why did I find this? But no one else. Because I wanted to know everything. You see, I have a very different mindset. than normal people. I want to know everything. If this is true, this is it's saying some radical things, saying that this is the way that all questions and answers are gotten. It's saying that all of our culture is just entirely constructive games, inside games. And they all basically have the exact same structure, and it's just having a question, and there's only certain ways you can investigate it. These are all the ways of investigating any question. So like immediately like linguistics, like I showed, like you can start looking at linguistics, but not just linguistics, but computer programs. Also, like you have x equals y plus 3. Well, x is the subject, and y plus 3 is the predicate. It's the exact same structure as question and answer. So what this means is saying that we don't have any problem creating games, and we don't have any problem creating knowledge, whatever. We have problems creating the games we want to create. That's why I asked you, what's your deepest value? That's what you know about yourself. What's your question that you don't know the answer to? Why are we creating games or having computer games?
If you don't know that you don't know.
Well, so that's one of the things, when I teach my...
Otherwise, you would know.
Well, so in my philosophy class, I teach my students only one thing. I say, I want you to think of a question, and then I want you to investigate it.
So what about their knowledge before?
Researchers
are interested in the whole system. So it means not only because they can have a different experience from education.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, like with these 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, what's interesting is it took them about a month to come up with a question. It's hard. But you see, their intelligence advanced remarkably. And the point is that they can, and they do, and they're great questions, and they're just trying to learn how to solve them. You're not learning all the time to teach them how to solve any question. But the point being is that those are their questions inside, and they don't require any... See, we're living in bigger knowledge, but the question is, can you find your reason why? Why you want to have a game? Why you want to have a... What's your reason?
Well, for example, additional questions. In the problem... based learning, for example, minimally invasive education, there's a model like this. So when the students are coming to the moment where they cannot move, so in this moment they need a little help. So it means not that you can...
Okay, so I can
you know that it is possible to do the things like that?
Okay, so I'll give you the answer to that is right here. Mm-hmm. There's six questions, and I gave you one. And these are the six questions, and they're counter questions.
Uh-huh.
So, you would say, well, what's the problem? Maybe it's the problem, do I truly like it? Like, my girlfriend likes pistachio ice cream, but do I really like it? I don't know, because I just do what my girlfriend tells me to do. The question is, how does it seem to me? Mm-hmm. So, if the question is, do I truly like it, how does it seem to me? Do I truly need to do this? So my parents say, go get a job. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell my parents, well, what else should I be doing? What kind of job am I doing? Right? Mm-hmm. Is this truly real? The answer is, would it make any difference? Is this truly problematic? How do I know that if I touch this, the roof won't fall? And I don't know. See, if I touch this, maybe it won't fall. But I ask a question. What do I have control over? If this building is so stupidly designed that I touch this and it falls, well, that's not my problem. And then the fifth question is, is this truly reasonable? Like, for example, how do I know? Maybe I'm insane, you see? The answer is like, well, am I able to consider the question? Maybe I'm saying because I can, maybe I'm saying because I won't. I won't consider it because I'm saying it. And the sixth question is this truly wrong? Like, should I be throwing up every morning after going drinking? Well, the answer is this the way things should be? So if you just told your students, like, if they want to be masters of intelligence, and they just answer those, what do I think? There's two more that I don't want to talk about. What do I truly want? And am I doing anything about it? Just walk around with all these questions, you'll be like, Leonardo da Vinci. And that's in this...
I don't understand why you are a model. You feel about games, without a human game. Because you are a model, you are a model with rules, and a model with the results, a model with the evaluation. This is your model. In fact, what is game? Game is for free. Or game, I don't understand.
But this is a scientific model of game. Well,
I understand that.
I don't know. You would like there to be a definition of game.
Hmm? not the definition, a philosophical definition, but an operative definition. Operational definition. So they are with a big and bigger. And the different, what is the input, what is the output?